hope is in you. I thank you for this place. I thank you for all the hands that have come and prepared and brought an evening that is sweet and joyful for us to embark on a new year of Anchor Discipleship. So we give you all the joy and all the praise, and we thank you and pray for your blessing and your Holy Spirit presence upon us in every way, in every fashion, in every form. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I know most of you, but I failed to actually tell you who I am. My name is Maria Curry. I am the Women's Ministry Director here, but I also just am your friend, and I'm glad we're all here. So, but I didn't say that earlier, so there you go. The other day, leaving Lake Watery before the sun was up, there were several trucks that were pulling their trucks with trailers and their fishing boats in toward the lake. And I imagine the anticipation in these fishermen's minds, driving to where they were going to drop their boat down into the water, going into their favorite coves, and they were going to catch all those gleaming fish upon fish with their beautiful silvery scales. But I wondered for them what it would take to bring home a cooler with their full day's catch. So most likely the fishermen had chunks of cut fresh shad to catch catfish, or minnows to catch stripers. They would have sinkers to hold the bait in place. They would have reinforced fishing lines called a leader to secure the hook and guard where the fish would bite. And then, of course, they would have their well-ordered fishing rods. Have a full tank of gas in the fishing boat, because it's no fun to get out in the middle of Lake Watery with your oars and no gas. We've done it before. And once they found the mother lode place where the fish would bite, they would need an anchor for stationary fishing, right? To get that boat calm. So I have to tell you, Craig's voice got really, really excited when he was telling me all those things about fishing, because I know none of that. So the details were exciting to him. For all of those, the fishermen would hold fast to the hope that was set before them to go out and catch all those wonderful fish. They were hoping they were going to get the big catch. So how do we hold fast to the hope that is set before us in our Christian ventures over the waters of life, over those storms that we had? Hebrews 6, 17 through 20 is the passage, one of the passages upon which we learn and hold fast to in holding fast to Christ's hope. So listen, these are the words of that particular scripture. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So these two unchangeable things that God has given us are first his promise-filled purpose and then his oath. When we venture into unknown and uncharted waters and we drop our anchors and we cast out for fish for each other and for those that God brings into our lives, we're all captured by the lure of Jesus. Our lines sink into the living water of God's word, and together with our fishing partners, our sisters, who are here with us side by side at the tables tonight, and with whom we join together, we plumb the depths of this life that God has given us. And what a sweet privilege that is. We hold fast to the hope that is set before us, knowing that the sure and steadfast anchor of our souls is Jesus. Praise God. For him. We know that God's mercies are new every morning, as the choir sang yesterday. So listen to these words. I was struck by them again, words that are anchored into this evening. Said this, "Blessed Father, Holy God, evermore the same, humbly now I come to you, trusting your holy name. You are my rock, my fortress, strong, giver of all good things. When I think of your love and faithfulness, how can I help but sing? New every morning are your love and compassion, O Lord, in your mercy. You have given me an anchor for my soul. You saved me, you redeemed me, you cleansed and made me whole. New every morning as day is dawning." I'm sure you're all singing along back there. "Your blessed hope and mercy I see. Firm and secure, steadfast and sure, great is your faithfulness to me." And this is important. "Though trials come," and they will, not if, but when. "Though trials come and fears assail me, though winds of doubt may blow, safe in your arms, sheltered from harm, rejoice for this I know, new every morning are your love and compassion, O Lord, in your mercy. In your mercy, you have given me an anchor for my soul." At the time of his death, plunged into the depths of sin's penalty for us, the hope that Jesus took with him entered the inner place behind the curtain. The curtain of the Old Testament that prevented our entrance to the Holy of Holies. But because of Jesus' sacrifice, his willingness to be that living bait for our souls went as a forerunner on our behalf. He's the ultimate and final high priest forever. He gave us the hope to which we hold fast, the anchor that gives us security to throw out our lines into the depths of this life and know with confidence, that he holds us fast in his hope. So we have a new year of anchor discipleship that's ahead of us, and that's exciting. We have wonderful leaders to reinforce your fishing lines, hold the bait of God's word in place, and sometimes to just keep on swimming. As Dory would have said, just keep swimming. Actually, she said that, just keep swimming. We have full tanks when we read and we bring our minds ready to share. We want to get your tanks full so we're ready to come and be with each other and share. We have beautiful places to meet, cozy coves to gather and grow together. So between us, we have the full equipment needed to drop our anchors, pull truth, encouragement, and lasting riches from God's deep living waters. So let's drop our anchors. Let's cast our lines into the waters before us. And my dear sisters, let's not miss one bite of what God has prepared for us. Okay, ladies. So we can keep moving along and get you out of here at a decent hour tonight. Keep eating. But this is a time where I just wanted to take a few minutes and introduce our group leaders at every table. And so we'll just start with our newest group. We are thrilled to have Barbara Huff and Pam Tessier. Would you stand or just wave your hands? Stand for us. Yes. Yay! We're so glad that they said yes, Lord, to leading a new group. And many of the women are in the choir, but also we have some new ladies who have joined in. And so we're thrilled. Next, we have over here, Lee Bryant is continuing with the group that they have, and we're so thrilled that they're back tonight. Thank you, Lee. Over here, there's probably one of our biggest groups over here, and they have four leaders, and two sitting at the table there is Gina Walsh and Amy Toller. And this next group, Betsy Dash and Carrie Roberts, lead this group on Friday mornings. Yay! Okay, you're not going to stand. And then right here next to that group, oh, I didn't mention the two other leaders. Excuse me, Julie Plakis and Tara Fox also, they're two of the four. Yay! It takes four to handle that crowd over there, Betty Nell and Wendy Clay and Lynn Wright. Are you kidding me? They need four leaders. What?
Sorry, Wendy, excuse me, I threw you out. Anyway, moving on. Okay, so this is the group I belong to, and I'm happy to be a leader with Maria Curry and Julie Plakis. That's our Wednesday morning group. And then right here is a group that Lori Lumpkin and Jill Lavoti lead together. And Jill's traveling tonight. She couldn't be with us, but she sends her love. And then last but not least, Beth O'Malley and Debbie Gustafson lead this group back here. Woohoo! Many years. Keep it going. So we're thrilled to have all of these groups. There is still time for women to sign up. If you know of a friend after tonight and you think, oh, Lord brings her to mind, tell her about it. Tell her about Anchor. It's once a month. We do commit through the full year. You know, February from after this month, it'll start in the homes or at church here February through November. It's a great way to get plugged in, get to know people, but truly to be anchored in Christ. So at this time, this is the most special part, my favorite part of the evening, is a time where we invited two ladies to share their testimony of how God has used Anchor to grow them in Christ. And so I'm going to ask Lori Lumpkin to come up and introduce our first speaker.
Can y'all hear me? Because I don't really like to mess with the microphone. I'm excited to introduce Suzanne Liggett to you all tonight. I count Suzanne as one of the blessings brought into my life at the baseball field, and it's been a true pleasure to be in an anchor group with her this past year. Suzanne has been married to her husband. I mean, you're from a small town, but not that small. She's been married to her husband, Colin, for 13 years. Colin is an assistant athletic director and the former head baseball coach at Spring Valley, and that's how our paths crossed. They have three precious and busy children. They've got twin girls, Hudson and Wiley, who are 8, and David is 6. Suzanne is from Lake City, which she says isn't really a city and doesn't have a lake. She went to Coker College, where she received degrees in English, communication, secondary education, and maybe more importantly, where she met Colin. Suzanne is a lead teacher at Blythewood High School, and she teaches teacher cadet, AP Lit, and English 3. I asked her to give me some fun facts about herself, and she maybe mistakenly let Colin supply these. Last year, her daughters told her that she looks like a PTO mom, but their dad acts like one. But I promise they are both passionate enough about education that they'd be a bonus to any PTO. She can pick things up with her toes. Suzanne, Colin, and all three of their children were baptized here at Northeast by Pastor Crow. So Suzanne, thanks for your friendship, and thanks for being willing to share.
And I am relatively active in the PTO, but Colin does an awful lot. Like Laurie said, I'm Suzanne Liggett, and I should not, as a high school teacher, be afraid to stand up in front of a loving and encouraging group of Christian women, but I am. This is really, really far out of my comfort zone. And so when I got Peggy's email asking me if I would be interested in sharing, my initial thought was no. No, I would not. Absolutely not. Not even a little bit. And then I took a minute, maybe 30 seconds, and I thought, I wonder why Peggy sent this email to me. And then I thought, I bet Lori Lumpkin told her to, because Lori gets me into all kinds of trouble. And then I took another minute and I thought, well, maybe this is God doing something. Maybe he wants me to share my story. And so I prayed about it, and honestly, it didn't take me very long to, you know, open my heart and feel like this was what God wanted me to do. And even though it would push me out of my comfort zone to speak in front of adults rather than teenagers, I knew that it was the right thing for me to do because God wants us to share our stories. So here I am. And I'm going to start with a little bit of background about me. My journey with God really began at birth. Like, I was born into a really strong Christian family, committed to their faith and to God. And my mom had us in church every Sunday morning for Sunday school and big church, as we called it. And I really can't remember a time in my life when I didn't feel confident that God was working in my life. And I feel really grateful for that. I was raised to know that everything happens for a reason and that God uses all things for his purpose. And that's just something that's really like a big part of who I am and how I believe. That being said, I have lived a far from perfect life, and I'm really grateful that we are told in Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Because, you see, I know a lot about God's grace and mercy because I have to ask for it regularly. So I tell you all of this because while church and prayers and faith have been a big part of my life, I have to admit that study and reflection has not been as much. And I can't even tell you how many devotional books I've bought or journals I've bought with the thought of I'm going to, you know, start a prayer journal and I might get started and do it for a week or two and then it just kind of would fall to the wayside. And this past year, being with this group of ladies, and sharing with, you know, reading a book and sharing it with one another, this anchor group has changed that for me. Not only have I read the book that we shared and discussed through, but I've now read The Power of a Praying Wife, which is really great. And just more recently, I've begun a daily routine of reading from my Bible and reflecting and praying through my readings. And my husband, Colin, who you are all now familiar with if you weren't earlier, he actually started this daily routine about a year, maybe a year and a half ago. And I kind of just always saw it as his thing, you know, like he didn't grow up as much in the church as I did, and that's his thing. And I don't really, I'm familiar enough with it. Like I don't have time because I've got these children that keep me busy and I've got this job that's really demanding and then there's the house and extended family and all of these things. So I just never felt like I could commit to that kind of daily routine. And I can remember actually sharing with the ladies in my anchor group one time. I guess we were talking about kind of how we spend our time in the Word, and I remember sharing that I read a daily Bible verse, and then I would think about it throughout the day. And at the time, that seemed like enough. It seemed like what I could do, you know, what I could manage and how I could work it in to my daily life. But after that conversation with the anchor group, it kind of just kept coming back to me, like, how am I spending my time, you know? I manage to scroll through Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever for who knows how long I get lost in there. Or I'll play some mindless games on my phone just to pass the time. Like, what am I doing with my time exactly? And then even thinking about, I find time to watch some of my favorite shows on Netflix or Hulu or Amazon Prime. I mean, there are so many things that I'm using my time to do. I wasn't finding the time to worship and immerse myself in God's Word and reflect on my reading, not just to study it for like the education of it, but to really like feel it and feel His presence in my life daily. And so, through my group, and they don't even know all of this, I don't know if it was reluctance or refusal at the time, but all of that has changed, and I have realized that it doesn't matter how hectic my life feels, and it doesn't matter how little time I feel like I have, because my time is not controlled by the world, and my time is not controlled by my work, and my time should not be controlled even by my family, because my time is God's time. And He gives me enough time to do everything that I need to do. And I know that one thing that is vitally important to Him is for me to spend more time with Him daily. And I know it is critically important for me to spend that time with Him daily. And so in our monthly anchor get-togethers, we studied Hebrew, where we're told in chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." So, I would like to thank these sweet and fun and feisty ladies of my anchor group who have inspired me so much. I love the fact that we are a small group of Christian women who are at varying stages in our lives. The thoughts, the ideas, the feelings, and the connections that these women bring to each meeting, they are precious to me. And I value our time together and our open and honest sharing of our celebrations and our struggles. And through these ladies and through this group, I have grown not only as a Christian, but as a wife and a mother and a friend. Thank you.
That was awesome. Thanks, Suzanne. And I can speak honestly. When she was a student ministry volunteer, I asked her to share at one point, and she told me no so fast that my head spun. So I've been praying that she would get up in here and share, and it was great. So thank you very much. I first met Christy, who's our next speaker, as the mom of Cal, that's her oldest son, when I first volunteered here at NEPC and then came on staff with the student ministry. She was someone who knew the culture at NEPC and was always willing to share what she knew and help however she could. I became her friend and a cohort as we managed her second son, David, and his antics in the student ministry. She volunteered consistently at that point, doing whatever was asked, from Wednesday nights when it was known as SM Live to Cedar Cliff retreats, going away with middle school and high school, serving as a small group leader for the girls. And now I've had the pleasure of our friendship expanding as we watch her youngest son, Ethan, grow from a wild man to a responsible leader. And we also get to meet together monthly in our anchor group. She's been married to Steve and her husband for 30 years, and they live in Elgin. She has homeschooled all three of her boys, been a football, baseball, and basketball mom, as well as served in a variety of volunteer positions at NEPC. To include women's, students, and kids. Can anybody say VBS? Because she is the VBS person. She is wise, she's loving, she's caring, and she's a loyal friend. My life is better for knowing her, and I know yours will be enriched this evening by her sharing. So I'd like to introduce my friend Christy Hux.
good gravy.
I was not that nervous, but now I am. Thank you. That was very sweet. Good evening. I wonder if God ever chuckles at us or gives us like a holy eye roll. You know, when you're making decisions without consulting him, thinking that you know best, making up great excuses for doing something or not doing something, all the while he is so patiently waiting for us to hear him. He has a tremendous track record of guiding us perfectly. Why don't we remember that? Why do we act so surprised when we finally shut down our own thoughts, focus on him, listen to him, move in his direction, and things become so much better? I can just picture God giving me a smirk, maybe that holy eye roll, and saying, "See, Christy, I knew what you needed. Why didn't you just chill out and listen to me at the first place?" So that's kind of my story on how I got to the Anchor Groups. I've been doing focused Bible study at NEPC. I keep going in and out. I'm really sorry. for many years, and I've loved the accountability of focus. I love the way it's set up. We study one or two books of the Bible each year, word for word. And there's really no better place to grow closer to God than to dive deep into his word. Well, when our church started these Anchor Groups years ago, I felt like I already had my Bible study. I didn't need it. I had focus. Anchor Groups were for people that didn't have another Bible study. Either it was a time or a subject that worked for them, and I just felt like I didn't need it, and I didn't want to give up that precious time in the evenings with my family. Well, 2 years ago, I heard the call again for the Anchor Groups, and this time I heard some of the books that they were going to study, and they piqued my interest. But I still thought, that's not for me. I've already got it. I'm good, God. Thank you anyways. Well, enter Peggy Lay. I've been at this church a very long time, and I have been a witness to many God stories where some ladies, probably men too, some point in their story say, "Well, then Peggy Lay approached me, and..." So one Sunday, I was in the narthex, and Peggy was there, and she said, "Hey, Christy, you should sign up for an Anchor Group." So I started in on my excuses. And she calmly and sweetly told me about a new group they were starting on Wednesday mornings. And she put the book in my hand, and I opened it, and I was looking at the table of contents. It was the book None Like Him by Jen Wilkin. Peggy gave me some perspectives about the group that I hadn't thought about, and kind of a switch went off in my head. Now I felt like I needed to go to this. No was no longer in my vocabulary. God had just removed it. So 2 years in and beginning my third year, I can look back and see what God had and has in store for me. Reading a book along with other women, discussing each chapter in full detail, holding each other accountable, and praying for each other was just what I needed. These practical books they choose are so insightful and full of ways to apply truth to my everyday life. Further, the true friendship and fellowship of my group members are life-changing. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend." We grow so much not just by reading the books and answering the questions ourselves, but by sharing our thoughts about it with each other. My group ladies make me a better Christian because they spur me on to deeper or different thinking, and they provide me reactions to some of the comments that I share. Further, Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 say, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up." God wants us to be in fellowship with one another, helping each other with whatever is happening in our lives. It is so good to share with each other, and it is encouraging to know that people are praying for me. But it is a true blessing to pray for others in my group. It makes us connect on such a deep level that being apart 1 month makes it seem like we are still connected daily. I love each of the ladies in my group, and I'm so thankful for that impact that they've made on my life. So, ladies, be prepared to be wowed by God as He knits you together in your group for a year of truth-finding, encouraging accountability, and deep prayer connections. Thank you.
Let's pray together. Father God, we are so grateful for this evening together. We're thankful that You are the rock that we stand on. We're grateful, Lord, that You are our anchor forever, that You're our shelter within the storm. You're our deliverer. You never falter. And with that, we are confident to stand on You as our rock and our redeemer, our fortress, our stronghold. And Lord, we have peace in You. We give You the glory. We thank You for what You're going to do in this year ahead through Anchor. Thank You for all who prepared this evening and for the joy that we have shared together in this place. Thank You for this church, Lord, that preaches and that proclaims the Word of God truthfully, and that we can come here freely, Lord. Father God, I do ask You in this evening, as we are all gathered as one body together, that You would bless and You would hold fast to, and You would be the rock for our beloved Brooke. We pray that You will hold her fast and that You will attend to her body. And Father, we pray healing upon her in the ways that You desire. Lord, we love her. We thank You for her. This is about You this evening, Lord, and we do thank You for bringing us together. We give You the glory, and we praise Your name forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.